You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
Hey, what's up, everyone? I'm Matt Migaki, the vocalist of Cryptopsy and the host of the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast, where I sit down with fellow metal musicians. We talk all about their lives and music while sharing killer craft beers. If you've ever wanted to sneak backstage and share a beer with one of your favorite musicians, well, Vox and Hops is the podcast for you. This week on the podcast, I dropped an amazing episode with Dom Grimal of The Last Felony, Ion Dissonance, and Cryptopsy. There is this episode and over 450 other ones to help you enjoy life, metal, and craft beer. So what are you waiting for? It's time to become a Vox and Hops head. Cheers!
The Daily Music Business Podcast.
The content of this episode of the Daily Music Business Podcast comes from a video on the YouTube channel of Outer Loop Group. Go to outerloop.group/YouTube to subscribe. For Outer Loop Coaching's free 7 steps to getting signed PDF, please visit outerloopcoaching.com today. Let's dive in.
Similar to that, but let's say sonically, like, Doc, when you like get up on stage with Lamb of God, your guitar has to sound like Mark Morton, right? Like,
I mean, to a degree, Kirk Hammett called me out. He goes, I heard someone playing a solo. I knew it wasn't Mark. So you're always going to sound like you. But yeah, you have to. And I mean, that's the thing, you know. So I started a cover band, you know, back on the East Coast. And one of the things, you know, we were doing, you know, like rock and metal from the 90s, 2000s stuff. And it was really important to me to get all the details, because I would always get pissed off when I would go see a band, a cover band, and they would just kind of get it right. And it's and then I kind of used that skill when I would fill in for a band, was like, well, don't just show up and like play the part right. Have the right kind of tone, have the right kind of guitar effect, have, you know, pay attention to the dynamic, just all that little stuff. And it shows you that you're not just playing the parts, you're embodying the parts, and you're in the tone and the sound of that particular band is paramount. Like, I'm not gonna, for every gig, I'm not gonna use the same amp for every gig. I'm not gonna use the same guitarist for every gig. I'm not gonna bring the same effects for every gig. It's and slowly over time, I've, especially like on an instrument level, I'm always trying to get different types of guitars for different gigs, because you can't, because you need that versatility, you know? And that's, like I said, it's those are the things, because I've kind of, you know, doing the cover band and being, you know, and bringing a lot of musicians in, you get to see how other people approach the same idea. Are they paying attention to the details like me, or are they kind of just doing a once over? And it really gives you, and I think it's something, what, you know, part of the reason why I keep getting these cool gigs is that people see that I'm paying attention to those things, and I'm going a little bit beyond just playing it properly. Cause it drives me crazy. If I have another guitar, cause you know, I do a lot of bands with two guitar players, and when that other guitar player is not paying attention to those details, or using the wrong kind of effect, or the, you know, maybe it's using too much distortion in one part or not enough distortion, it drives me crazy.
Owen, Doc used the word versatility, and I kind of want to segue there, because I think that it's a good topic. Like, being a multi-instrumentalist, I imagine, for both you and Gerardo are great at a number of different instruments. Your ability to sing and to do harmonies, are things like that the you know, competitive differentiator between you and other musicians in your scene who'd be going for the same kinds of gigs?
Me?
For Owen.
Yeah, I think singing definitely helps. You know, it's, you have to have a pretty good budget to take out a group of background singers. It's a lot easier to just get the guitar player and bass player to sing the harmonies. But if they can't, then, you know, so I think the singing for sure. Multi-instrumentalists, I mean, maybe a broader question is, you know, for example, if you play bass, can you also jump on synth bass and do a song like that? If you play drums, are you also proficient with the SPDS or another type of sampling instrument? You know, for guitar, of course, there's a million different pedals and amp configurations and things that it probably helps you have a leg up to be familiar with. But again, you know, I think that all comes back to part of being prepared for your job is sort of, you know, looking at the things that you might be asked to do or looking for things that maybe would help the show and sort of being able to say, well, I actually know how to do this. So on this song, maybe instead of playing guitar, I'll jump over and hit this trigger pad, you know, and I'll work on getting the samples this weekend or something like that. So to answer your question, yeah, I think it is helpful to just have a broad a skill set as you can, especially now when going out and playing music, you know, it's not like the Beatles at Shea Stadium, you know, with a couple amps and a couple instruments. There's a lot going on now, from everything, you know, from backing tracks to vocoders and harmonizers. And, you know, there's a lot of things that I think it's just useful to have in your bag of tricks.
And has that been a learning process for you, or did you, you know, just arrive in New York City and know what you needed to know?
I think, you know, it's just like hanging out with having mentors, you know, get the first gigs you get. There's usually going to be somebody in the room that's been doing it longer than you have and knows, if not more than you, then has a specialty that they can share with you. So, you know, there's a lot of things that I'm using regularly for my employment now that, you know, I can single out the people that taught me how to do them. I can single out the time in my life where I was in that project that I spent, you know, 3 weeks, you know, working on this record with somebody, and they showed me how to use, you know, an analog tape machine or whatever it is. So I think if you have the willingness to learn and you're fortunate enough to be involved in projects where there's people who want to teach you, or at least you can glean something from.
Awesome. Gerardo, you're a multi-instrumentalist as well. How crucial was that to getting your current gig?
I mean, obviously it's of utmost importance. But I think, I mean, there's always going to be somebody that plays better than you. There's always going to be somebody that plays one more instrument than you. And so while that, all that is important, in fact, when I was auditioning for Spoon, they already had somebody lined up to fill the spot. That person ended up going on tour with somebody else and kind of dropped the gig. And so he said that he could help out for a couple of months. But at the end of the day, it turned out that we all became like pretty good friends. And like when we're on tour, we have an amazing time. We all hang out together. We all party together. So there's these all other skills that aren't necessarily related to the music that kind of solidify that position as well. I mean, I could throw a rock and find somebody that sings better than me for sure, or somebody that plays keyboards better than me. But, you know, in my particular experience, since I was reliable and I was able to bring what they needed to the table, but on top of that, I kind of had the vibe that they felt comfortable with, I think that's what ultimately just made everything gel together.
Well, I got to ask one last question of you before we wrap up, because we're running on time. But and I feel bad asking you in the wake of you talking about how well you party with the rest of the guys in Spoon. But Biggie from Good Fight Management in a recent panel was talking about how there's these stages in musicians' careers where it gets really challenging to keep musicians as musicians. Can you talk about your experience as a husband and father and being on the road for months at a time and as a sideman, how challenging has that been?
It's hugely challenging. I mean, especially for in my experience having young children, you know, when I went on tour for the first time with Spoon, it was a full year and my daughter was 8 months and my son was, you know, however old he was, a year and a half, or almost 2 years. So yeah, that was, it took a huge toll in a lot of respects. You know, it took a toll in my relationship with my wife. It is emotional stress from being away from my children, feeling guilty that I'm on the road. And, you know, after an awesome gig, we fucking killed it. Let's go to the bar and have fun. And in the back of my head, I'm like, oh, my family's at home and my poor wife is like struggling, trying to put these two fucking kids to sleep while I'm just at the bar partying, you know? So, I mean, there's a lot of challenges when it comes to that, but you just have to take it as it comes and do the best you can. And just always kind of recognize that you're gonna be in tough spots, and if you can figure stuff out in terms of your relationships other than the band, you know, if it takes a toll on that, you just need to make sure that you're working hard at making everything better.
Mike, I'm going to leave this to you to kind of wrap us up. Is there anything about the way that you, from a management perspective, how you work with Sidemen that has evolved over the years, or something that you know now that you wish you knew then?
I think for me, and, you know, as it's evolved, I've learned that, you know, the role isn't, it always takes on something different than what we initially imagined. And I think for many of the guys who are Sidemen, you know, it sounds like they never know what's going to come of it, right? Gerardo's talking about a situation that changed his entire life, whereas Owen's talking about all these, working with all these great people, going to all these different places. You know, Dan had a relatively comfortable existence, and got kind of catapulted into a new spotlight. And Doc, you know, just continues to amaze me with all of the opportunities that he comes into. And I don't think any one of them, nor myself, right, when we approached a situation, or at least in the past, it was like, I need you to do this thing so it can go this one way. And what's been great is the addition of new blood, new perspective, new attitudes always changes the course in a way that oftentimes in my experience ends up better than I could have ever imagined it. So I want to thank you guys. This is really amazing. Really, really great. Thank you, Paul, for putting this one together.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Really appreciate it. I can't tell you how this is. I've fanboyed more in the past hour than probably any time else in my entire life. So this is pretty cool. I hope I kept it inside.
Subscribe today to the Daily Music Business Podcast on your favorite podcast platform.
Hi, this is Chad Nicefield.
And this is Justin Press.
We're the host of Making Waves, the Shiprock podcast, a part of the Sound Talent Media Podcast Network. We're inviting you to sail away with us on an epic journey in musical enlightenment. Every week, we bring you only the best artists in rock music and discuss everything from the cruise to the stage to the saga of being a professional recording artist. We'll have lots of special guests along the way, so tune in every week.
Your stateroom is available every Monday morning, so welcome aboard.